It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It is the Take Command podcast. I am Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. Of course, all your Commanders news, notes, and on Tuesdays, film breakdowns right here on Take Command. And today we are breaking down the 30-23 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. And Logan, I think just super big picture before we quickly dive into the offense, like watching it back on tape kind of illuminated, I think, a lot of the stuff that we talked about on the post game. I thought you made a couple of great points that really came to life when I watched it back on tape. This really was a competitive game. I think both sides of the ball had their moments where they played really well. Both sides of the ball had their moments where Baltimore proved to be better. And, you know, we'll obviously color in a lot of details here, but sometimes you learn a lot when you go back and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that. I think this is one we had a pretty good feel on it, watching it on TV / on from the sideline in your case. And now we just get to fill in a lot of the details.
Yeah, 100%. I think the other thing that stuck out to me watching it back was just how close it actually was for the majority of the game. Like, when usually I don't watch it with the scoreboard in there, it just takes too much time. But this time I did, and I was like, oh, it's 10-10 or it's 10-17, and this field goal gets blocked here. If that doesn't get blocked, it's 13-17, and then they have this PI that doesn't get called on Noah Brown, which would have been a first down, and then they maybe could have got a closer field goal or taken a shot here. And then there was that batted ball on 3rd and 5 that would have been a first down, and then that drive keeps going. They possess the football a little bit longer. So there was and that's how inevitably every close game goes. You go back and watch the film, and you're like, oh man, if they make 2 or 3 more plays, like, they're in this thing. So I think that was really encouraging coming back out of it. Obviously, like, there were spells where it wasn't good and it wasn't super sharp, but they did some really positive things. And obviously, Jaden Daniels' continued development is something that I find to be very, very impressive. And just the way he played this game, some of the throws he made, I thought was really cool. But yeah, on the whole, from an offensive side, I think you say, man, probably 3 or 4 plays away. And they're not crazy plays being in this ball game.
I could say 3 or 4 calls away in this game. Like, truthfully, and I hate to be a referee guy, but like, I hated both the PI calls on St. Juice. Noah Brown definitely got interfered with on one, although that was a drive where they throw the touchdown to Terry. That was a bad one. But they missed another one that might have also been PI on Noah. So like, if a couple of calls, and again, I'm sure if I watched closer on some other plays, maybe they missed a couple that would have gone in Baltimore's favor. So, you know, it feels like Washington got screwed by the refs, but if you watch a little closer, maybe they missed some both ways. But the point being, like, had those calls gone the other way, had the referees seen a couple things differently, like, this could have been a totally different game.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, we're talking about the offense here, but that 3rd and 10 that St. Juice gets the PI, that was a tough one. Big situation. Now think about it. If you hold them to a field goal there, the complexion of this game is completely different.
You're talking about the one in the red zone?
Yeah, the one in the red zone. And there, you know, there was the other 3rd and 5, which was a little tick-tack. The guy falls down kind of on his own accord. But the one in the red zone, I thought, man, that was a tough one. Because does he pull him? Yeah. But is it a dramatic pull? No. And again, like, I'm never going to complain about the referees. I think they actually, on the whole, in the NFL, do a pretty good job considering how bang-bang a lot of these calls are. And if you're looking at the letter of the law, yeah, it's PI, but it just came at a critical moment. And when you look at how the game ends up shaking out, if that's 3, then the end game scenario is a little bit more manageable, and you're kind of like, oh man, we're going toe-to-toe with Baltimore. So,
and that 3rd and 5 happened in the middle of one of the 90-yard drives, I believe, and it would have gotten them off the field, and they ultimately score. So yeah, really tough. But I think the difference in, just like to wrap up the big picture thought here, I think a lot of times teams in the NFL convince themselves, oh, we're just a couple of plays away and we're close. And it's like, that's how most games are in this league.
Yeah.
But the winning teams consistently are a couple plays ahead and the losing teams are consistently not. And I think what's different to me about this team this year is, yeah, they're a few plays worse than Baltimore. But I think that they're a few plays better than a lot of the other teams in the league. Like, I don't come away thinking like, oh man, that's a huge mismatch. This team is always going to be a couple of plays short. I come away thinking like, man, they're capable. And even maybe in a couple weeks with a little more seasoning, if you will, a little more time to marinate in these schemes, a little more time for some of the younger players to gain some experience, that they'll make these plays and hopefully they'll be be able to actually win a game against, let's say, Pittsburgh, the next really good opponent that they face that's got kind of the institutional knowledge and that experience. Obviously, Chicago looks like they're pretty good right now, but that Pittsburgh game, I think, is one that we'll have circled big time.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing, too, is you talk about the penalties, talk about some of the offensive plays that could have gone here or there. I think also B-Rob, you know, and when I go back and watch the film, you know, I think Austin Eckler's done a great job. He did a great job in this game of a couple of explosive passing opportunities. You see the value he adds to the offense. But I don't know, the down-to-down running vision. Now, again, it wasn't always super clean, and this isn't all him. But I kind of wonder if Cliff as a play caller, if B-Rob's in there and is able to find a little bit more consistency, kind of make some of those money runs, you know, 5-yard gains or 3-yard gains instead of losses or gains of zero. If he sticks with the run a little bit more, if you can deleverage Jaden a little bit, because I do feel like this is the game where he's been the most out there in terms of what they've asked him to do in terms of making plays consistently and really kind of got away from traditional, you know, Washington football Commanders game flow with how much they threw the football. And does having B-Rob in here kind of as the pacifier, the guy that covers up some muddy runs, the guy that can break a tackle, the guy that can fall forward for three, does that change the composition of this game? And, you know, B. Mitch after the game was like, if B-Rob plays, I think we might win this game. And I was like, I don't know. There's some muddy looks. But then when you go back and watch the film, you're kind of like, maybe that encourages the play caller and maybe it keeps us in a more efficient game flow. Because that was the other thing, as I felt like this was a game where you see some of the limitations when they're not in positive down and distance all the time. And a lot of that came down to lack of efficiency on first and second down around the ball. So,
yeah. So let's get a little bit more into the offense as a whole, and then we'll get to Jaden here in a few minutes, more specifically in his performance. I think that we'll both talk glowingly about what he was able to do as he was more leveraged than he's ever been in an NFL game through the first six of his career. But I do think that the run game stuff is really interesting, the decision-making that Cliff had around it, because I do wonder if there's times he's looking at the iPad on the sideline and just going, I don't know if it's worth it for me to call this, you know, straight ahead dive play or some of the other stuff. One, the Ravens defensive line did a great job of making some plays, and they have this really unique blend of, you know, a guy like Matabike who will, you know, shoot gaps and is really quick and is hard to run some of the trap and you know, let's call it game plan-y, fancier runs, if you will, against, because he can slip inside and get in the way or make a tackle and mess that stuff up. And power guys who can just absolutely chin it and screw up, you know, kind of the running, whether it's like some of those pullers can't get to where they want to go because there's now a human being or two large human beings in the way, or, you know, they're going and making plays in the backfield. Like, I get why Cliff maybe went away from some of the run. And then you go, okay, well, if you can't run inside, can you get outside? And guys like Kyle Hamilton make that you know, just absolutely awful to do. And how many times in this game did he, whether it's go hunt down a screen or get to the edge, like they're just a really solid defense. And without the vision of Brian Robinson and the power, I don't know if Cliff felt super confident. I would have probably given McNichols a couple more, easy for me to say in hindsight. Right. He had a couple of good carries, but how else do you think that affected, whether it's the play action game or whatever else that they did, beyond the ability to just get, or like, once we say, all right, the yardage is one thing, this carry that might have gotten us to second and six and now it's second and nine because Eckler ran it instead of B-Rob, how does that then have a trickle down effect on the rest of the offense?
Yeah, this is really interesting because I know we don't want to talk about Jaden Daniels right now, but I felt like specifically on the first two drives, there was a lot of kind of run options. So I think it's the first run in the red zone. So pretty much every run, I want to say, let me see, 5, 6, 7 runs that they ran, there was some type of read element by the quarterback, whether that's hand the ball off, we're going to throw a screen, hand the ball off to run. And in the red zone on the first and 10 sequence there, where they run that kind of full house backfield with both tight ends and the running back in the dot, he opens to the offensive right, and it's a play that we used to run with Robert all the time. We didn't run it with GT. We used to call it Wanda. So basically on Wanda, everyone's working to the left, tight zone, and there's no pullers. On GT, obviously, you pull the guard, he kicks out, you pull the tackle, you read the guy that could make the play. If he pursues, you pull it. And Jaden doesn't he pulls it, and the guy doesn't even move. And so it kind of makes a bad read.
Yeah, and I think Eckler might have walked in had he
and GT's a touchdown. Like,
yeah,
without a doubt, a touchdown. And so then there's another play, the one that Terry gets blown up by Kyle Hamilton, where they're playing, it looks like cover two, but they rotate down late. And so that's not a good screen. You should just hand the ball off there. And there's a couple times early on where I felt like Jaden, who again has been really consistent about making decisions in the pass game, there was a little bit of indecision or he's trying to make a play. And I felt like that hurt some of the early run stuff a little bit. And to be fair to him, like when you put a lot on the quarterback, and this is stuff I've talked to about with like Kyle and Sean and some coaches that were with the staff in Carolina with Cam Newton, is you can't be mad at the quarterback for making the wrong decision because like they're playing the game. And as long as they make the right decision more than not, like you're okay. And so I think prior to this, obviously Jaden Daniels done an excellent job of saying, oh, screen, the numbers are good on the screen, let's get the ball out, or I'm going to read the defensive end correctly and hand it off. And so there's a couple early on that I felt like really kind of stymied drives a little bit and put them in bad spots, or made it more difficult to be efficient. You know, we talk about run game efficiency and staying ahead of the sticks. And there was a couple decisions, probably three or four, where I was like, that's not the right decision on paper, but in the moment I can see why you did that, or you're trying to make a play or whatever it is. So I think that's one thing I would say generally is, can Jaden Daniels make better decisions against a defense that's very fast, that's very physical, that kind of gave him some difficult looks? That's one thing I would say. And then also,
well, real quick on that, the other thing I would say on Cliff's side of that equation, like first play of their, so they have that, you know, in the first two drives, they have the RPO to open. They have some of the read options. They have some of the screen reads where Jaden, it's a little muddy, doesn't make the right decision. When they come back out their first drive, I guess it's the last play of the first quarter, first drive of the second quarter, their third drive of the game. They come out and run straight power. Like they come out and they're like, okay, no more decision making. This is what we're doing. We're getting downhill, and they get a 6 yard gain. And then they try to run one of their misdirection plays that's worked for them all year on second down, and they get caught up in a run blitz and it's a minus one. But they take the decision making out of it, and they're just like, okay, well, we're still going to run the football, and we're just going to find a way to do this where we create an advantage. By design, as opposed to trying to have the quarterback make a decision. So I think that's one thing overall in this game that I like that Cliff did. Like, he showed, like, you can understand the decision-making process on a lot of stuff, even when those plays don't ultimately work all the time, because it's football and Baltimore Ravens are a really good defense, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, 100%. And then, like, generally, the game flow, I think, is one that I would also point to for why they're not running the ball a ton, because you get back and it's the second drive, it's the fourth drive, and they kind of get in that hurry-up mode. Remember where they go down and Terry scores a touchdown and they throw the ball, what is that, 8 consecutive times, where it's like, oh, we get the keeper to the perimeter and Noah Brown runs that little kind of inside sit. Jaden Daniels does a great job getting it there. They run a spot concept, throw to Terry on a 3rd and 6, which was one of the best throws of the game on that kind of comeback where the guy's draped all over him, and that ball placement's excellent. They just went down the field and they obviously score. So I think, in addition to maybe not being overly efficient from a decision-making standpoint early, they had a 2-minute drive with 7 minutes left in the second quarter. And then their next drive is a 2-minute drive also. So in those 2-minute situations, you're not going to be running the ball a ton. So I think that was one of the things that maybe also led to the fact they're not running the ball. And the other thing too is they didn't have a lot of drives really in the first half of this game, right? I think they had 4 drives. And so Baltimore did such a great job of possessing the football. It became one of those things where it's like, are we going to get an opportunity to touch the football here sooner rather than later? So that's something else I would point to for general run game, like why it is where it is, why did they didn't get more touches, those types of things. And also, I think you got to give credit to Baltimore. Like, you mentioned that GT that they ran where, again, I don't know if Jaden's reading it out, but that he hands it off and ends up being a really physical downhill run, falls forward for 6 yards. They try to come back and run a counter, and Roquan Smith runs through the backside A gap and just blows the whole thing up. Yeah. So Baltimore also made plays in the run game that, as a play caller, is going to kind of get you out of stuff that you want to do. So give credit to Baltimore. Obviously, there were some decision-making things by Jaden early on that made that less efficient. And also, I think the general game flow, getting those two-minute situations kind of early in the game, it's going to just limit the amount of exposure you have to running the ball.
I think also you see the limitations of, like, or not, I want to say the limitations. You see what happens to this offense when they don't steal a couple first downs. Really, it's more how valuable it is, and like how an offense that scores 23, which is not nothing, against a good Baltimore team, scores 40 against a lot of other teams, is like, okay, well, what happens when you steal four first downs and a huge chunk play on a Jaden Daniels scramble, of which you had none in this game? Some of the design runs, like they had a great plan, Baltimore did, for the design run stuff. And part of their great plan is they have great players. Like Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton can run with Jaden Daniels in a way that a lot of linebackers and safeties can't in this league. They don't have either the size or the speed to run with Jaden. Both those guys have both. So that, I think, also really limited, you know, the efficiency of the offense, because if you drop back on a second and seven after you only get three on first down and, you know, bad blitz, someone gets out of their rush lane and Jaden just takes off and gets 15 yards. Well, that's not winning with the pen. That's not good play calling necessarily. That's just like you got dudes making plays, and Baltimore did a fantastic job of limiting that in this game. That said, like the one thing I just want to underscore about Kliff real quick, and then I think we should probably just get into Daniels, because that's going to illuminate, I think, the rest of the offense, is, man, that dude will try some stuff. Like, I so appreciate the fact that he just refuses to let the offense get into a rut, because they had a couple in this game where it's three and out, or they get, you know, four play drives, whatever it may be. And they come out and, you know, hey, maybe we run the ball on first down, but then we're going to go some kind of trick play. We're going to have a throwback. We're going to have a flea flicker screen. We're going to have a screen that looks like a wide receiver screen. And then we're going to throw underneath as everyone flows to the outside and hit the running back for a screen back towards the middle. Like there's just so much tremendous stuff that they do to generate something, to get that first down where they can get in their hurry up. And Kliff's always searching for it. And I really, really appreciate, like, you want to talk about competitiveness that we talk about, how it shows up with the players. Like, to me, that is the competitiveness of a coach who just refuses to be like, well, this is my game plan. Let me just run what I think might have worked during the week. It's like, no, here's my bucket of plays where if I need to find something, this is going to generate some yardage. And I may only be able to use it once, but dang, they compete in terms of the way they call plays. And I really appreciate that.
But I think that's the other great thing, is like he puts that in the week. You don't just pull that out on game day and be like, hey, let's get this done. It's like that play is in. It's been in. It's something they've repped. The timing of it is so good. That's something that they've done. And it's not just the trick plays. I know people have kind of pointed out the two screens, which were so fun in terms of play design. The fake screen to Terry, so fun in terms of play design. Like, awesome, awesome stuff. I think the other thing that sticks out to me is even their play action shot plays. They have one to Noah Brown where they kind of, so basically the offensive line, it's tight ends to the right. Noah Brown's running like a deep crosser. Mm-hmm. They sell keeper to the left, so everyone runs to the left. And they pull, who is it? Alec Reddy, back to the right. So everything to the defense feels like a keeper. And so on keeper, you know, you fake the run to the offensive left, you boot out to the offensive right. And what that does is it gets the linebackers to trigger to the pattern of a keeper. And so a keeper, usually you have someone in the flat to the offensive right, a crosser, and maybe like a corner to the play side to kind of, and you're trying to hit that crosser right there in the middle. But when you pull this guard, you basically create, you've moved the pocket and you create this beautiful protection kind of sphere for the quarterback. And it allows the linebackers run like it's keeper. Brown comes across, and all of that comes off the protection plan. And because you pull the guard, you help the tight end out, and the tight end can sit in there a little bit longer. He's blocking the defensive end. That's usually a mismatch, but not anymore because Alec Grady's there. Great job. There's a big completion on a sail route. So Zach Ertz runs a great route. Man, he is such a skilled route runner just in general, but it kind of pushes across like he's running like a high cross, like a deep cross. So think about, you know, getting to the far hash or far numbers at 22 yards, like pushes like that, then breaks back out. But the way he handles the flat defender, I'm talking about Kliff now, with a short motion by Ozzy, he gets back to the dot, then runs a kind of a swing route to the offensive left. The hook player steps up to that kind of flat control player, and the void is so big. And the way Noah Brown runs the pylon route to hold the deep coverage too.
Yeah, you can just tell they're good at using those clearing routes and so good at using just manipulating defenders to say, hey, this is exactly the space. Because like at that point, it becomes an easy read for the quarterback too. It's like the thing I want is going to be open. And if it's not, someone else really messed up and that guy's going to be wide open.
And that's exactly right. And these are not like innovative concepts, but I think when you watch how he gets to them or how they've been getting to them and how they've, again, it's the thing that maybe is the most impressive is the protection, because the O-line, you know, obviously everyone talked about how maybe they're understaffed, they're under talented, but holy cow, man, he knows it. Like, there's chip help. There's we just talked about moving the pocket, setting guys up in different spots, and then ensuring good, clean throwing windows so Jaden can anticipate throws. That all comes down to design and really and execution. And I think that's the thing that's been the most impressive. You know, I mentioned the protection, but just a higher level concept is the execution of these things. It's, you don't call a flea flicker screen because you're worried about the ball handling. And all of a sudden, you've repped it enough that you trust it and guys know where to be. It's really, really a well-executed group. But not only with the trick stuff, it's executed in the base pass. And prior to this week, the run game's been really well-executed and really well-called. So I think there's a lot of really cool things that Cliff deserves. And the offensive staff in general, I'm not just going to give it to Cliff, but all right. of this staff that's come together, they deserve a ton of credit. And it showed up in these games against a pretty talented coverage group, you know, individually talented coverage group in the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, for sure. There's another one too where they run, I'm pretty sure it's a dagger concept, so they run like a clearing route, run someone else across the you know, high cross situation. But and I've seen that route concept a million times in West Coast systems, right? That used to be one of Jay's favorites. I used to joke with Jay, like, yeah, we just call that every play. You seem to be able to get it whenever you want. Just want it more. You know, like it's such a good concept, but it's a longer developing concept. And so they run it off of play action with like a half roll. And it's one of those same like moving pockets. All of a sudden you have this beautiful pocket. Right. Jaden's able to step into the throw. And it's okay, well, how do you distract the defense from pass rushing so that we have time for this route concept that we've seen a million times in the NFL to open up down the field? And so it's those details that Cliff has that are really, really good that I think unlock this offense when it's flowing. The problem in this game was they needed an absolutely outrageous performance against a really good defense. And obviously that becomes a lot harder to do for reasons where the offense gets bogged down a little bit in some key drives late, which I think we can talk about as we transition to talking a little bit more in depth about Jaden Daniels.